And we push through because He's worthy.
Yes.
And then we get the feeling, and another time we push through and don't get the feeling, we realize it's not about feeling.
Right.
I preached this morning about the power of love.
Yeah. All right.
But you know what? Love is more than a feeling, too. It's not about the feeling.
Yeah, that's right.
Love wrapped up in one word, if you could wrap it up and just stomp it down and press it down in one word, love would really mean commitment.
Go ahead.
Commitment.
Yes, sir.
When you love someone, you're committed.
Yes.
When you love the Lord, you're committed.
All right.
To the cause.
All right.
I want to preach about the power of love this morning. Everybody say the power of love.
Power of love.
And while we're thinking about it, and I want you to think of your favorite scripture on love. And we'll let you quote it a little bit and see what comes across to your mind. But it just came across my mind a while ago, and I didn't have it in my lesson. So I put it in my Bible, search, doing a fitchy real quick. Because I just thought, when I think of love, I think of this scripture. The Bible said in Proverbs 10 and 12, hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins.
Right.
Now, I've had a little trouble with that Bible verse through the years, because it looks like when you love somebody, you just cover their sin. And just now, in my Bible search, I hit, boop, King JV plus, boop, gives you the Greek letter, boop, to every word, boop. You know what that covereth means? Anybody got any ideas? Huh? No, sir. That's what I thought. Tithe. Because you love someone, you overlook their sin. And because God loves you, He overlooks your sin, right? That is what it means. It means fills up hollows.
Right.
You see, because God loved you, He don't overlook your sin. But He gives you a space and fill up some hollows so wrath don't come in and take place until there's a place that you get pricked in your heart.
All right.
And He pulls and says, I've been waiting on you. And you come and you hear a preacher, and the preacher tells you, you need to confess because it's good for the soul.
Right.
And you need to repent because that's good for the actions. And then God can come in and fill you with the Holy Ghost.
All right.
So that was a scripture, I just boom, right off the top of my head, what I thought about love. Let's turn to Romans 5 and verse 8. And on the way to church this morning, I was listening to Jerry Clout. If you've never heard of him, he's was a Southern Baptist Christian comedian. And he said, ain't God good? I was listening to a song last night after we left the concert for a little bit. And this song I put on my YouTube this morning, and then this heading came up, Ain't God Good, Jerry Clower. So I clicked on the way to church, and Jerry Clower read this scripture, and I thought, wow, that goes right along with my message that I had built yesterday morning early as I got up. I stole the thought from one of these preachers that preached Wednesday or Sunday, I can't remember, for God hath not given up the spirit of fear, but the power of love and a sound mind. And when I heard that, when he read that, I went, boom, power of love. And so I built this message and was thinking about it all week and built it Saturday morning. We went to a concert last night. And what was the first guy's name? I forgot his name. Jonathan? Wilburn. Said he had a shirt. And it was actually Faith Over Fear. And that's what I had came up. I heard it before, but I came up, put it in my message Saturday morning. I thought, wow, man, these things are just coming together. But listen to this verse. Gary Clower read this morning. Romans 5 and 8. But God commendeth His love toward us. Somebody say love.
Love.
In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
All right.
That word commendeth there means to set together. So God took His love and yoked up with us when we wasn't worthy, when we was nasty and stinking.
Yeah.
It includes its collateral forms. You see, God, because He loved us,
put his life a ransom and collateral for us.
Right. Yes.
That's what commendeth me. God commendeth his love toward us.
Right.
He stands near us. He approves us.
Yes.
To stand with.
Right.
Verse 9 of Romans 5. Much more then, being now justified by his blood. Everybody say blood.
Blood.
How do you get the blood?
Baptism.
You're buried with him in baptism. Right?
Yes.
You was born. And what happened at conception? There was a blood transfusion.
Right.
Now don't ask me how all this works, because I'm not smart enough. And I'm pretty sure the doctors will tell you the same thing. We're all adults. How does seed, I made it real nice, I cleaned it up now, the elder seed, come from a man? And in that seed is blood.
Right.
All right. You don't think it works that way? Ask my wife what kind of blood she has. Ask my kids what kind of blood they have. They've got daddy's blood.
Right.
She's got negative, I got positive. Both my kids got positive blood. How did all that work? I don't know, but I know I was born. And that first blood transfusion, I had daddy's blood. But I went down in the lovely name of Jesus, and I took on a transfusion, and now I got Jesus' blood.
All right, go ahead.
That's how we get the blood. Somebody say the blood.
Amen.
We've been justified by his blood. His blood speaks better things, the Bible said, than the blood of Cain.
Yes.
Or Abel, rather, that Cain slew. That blood spake vengeance. Jesus' blood speaks mercy.
Yes.
And love. Off of the Holy Ghost.
Thank you.
By his blood we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if, everybody say if.
Yes.
When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by his death of the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy. We're just not saved, we have joy.
Yes.
In God through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom we now have received the atonement.
Thank you, Lord.
We've received something special. We'll read this last scripture and let you sit down. It was read, I think it was Sunday, but it might have been Wednesday night. I can't remember. 2 Timothy 1 and 7. Was it you, Sunday morning, Brother Skinner? For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Everybody say fear?
Fear.
Is a spirit.
Fear.
Fear is a spirit. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. You see, if you have that spirit of love, you have power and a sound mind, and it overrides or supersedes that spirit of fear. You may be seated. Lord, help us today. Let your word go forth in this place. Anoint our hearts and our ears. Give us an understanding in your precious name as the word goes forth. Lord, let our seed of our heart be fertile soil. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Somebody said a long time ago that fear, F-E-A-R, is false evidences appearing real. The mind is a very powerful thing. The spirit of fear is a very powerful thing if you let it be. Fear in the dictionary simply says an unpleasant, often strong emotion caused by anticipation or an awareness of danger. Now, fear don't have to be unpleasant.
All right.
Fear can be like anger. You can make it a good thing. Many men have built businesses after businesses because the fear of failure kept driving them to succeed.
All right.
My father and his brothers were very successful businessmen. And I never put two and two together for a long time, but then I began to realize after never make nothing. You ain't worth nothing. You're sorry and all these things. Now, he didn't do it around Grandma, because Grandma didn't play the radio. And Grandma was on the positive side. You boys are going to do great things. You're going to be great men and all this stuff. And she built them up. But when they found themselves alone, there was somebody that was putting that in their mind. And they become great businessmen fighting against, because they had that fear of failure.
Right.
My wife went to a graduation a couple weeks ago on a Friday night, and she said, a dear preacher friend of ours told the story of Elder Triplett that pastored in Missouri, Racine, Missouri. That's where he had pastored. Had a great church there. So a man, or an acquaintance of a man, somebody came to him and wanted to borrow $1,000 to start a business venture. And this individual that wanted to borrow the money was known for starting and failing and starting and failing and starting and failing and starting and failing. And he came again to start again. I need $1,000 to start this company. I need $1,000 for this business venture. And like always before, I know it's going to work. Man, we're going to make money. And I'm going to pay you back with interest. And me and you both are going to get rich if you'll just give me $1,000. And the preacher said, no, I think I'll be okay. I don't need to get rich. I'm okay. And basically, I'm not going to loan you the money. You failed so many times before, and you're going to fail again. Probably without saying that, that was what he was saying.
Right.
That man that day that he turned away from that $1,000 loan turned out to be one of the greatest business entrepreneurs in the world today that we know. His name was Sam in Arkansas. Walton. Walmart. You see, his fear of failure kept him going for the most part. Because he failed again and again and again. He said, you know what? One day I'm going to get this thing right.
All right.
Right. Go ahead. One day! I don't live for God because of the fear of hell.
Right.
I live for God because of the fear of God.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's a good thing. Because the beginning of wisdom is fear.
Yeah.
And understanding that you get that I fear God enough to know God's going to do exactly what He said He was going to do. And one day, the things that people really, really fear that aren't being preached about hardly anymore is going to come true.
Right. Right.
And there's going to be an angel that's going to stick one foot out of heaven and is going to put it on the earth, and she's going to stop spinning.
Right.
And he's going to blow a trumpet, and it's all going to be over.
Yeah. Yes.
We're all the atheists say, you know what, there is no God. It takes too much faith to believe there is no God.
Right.
And if there is no God, you don't need an atheist.
Right.
Really, it's just that simple.
Right.
If they really believe what they say, what's the use of an atheist if you don't have a God?
Right.
So you've got to have a God to have them. But one day it's going to come true. And that old trumpet's going to sound.
Yes.
And the gravitational pull on this earth, when it quits spinning, is going to lose a foothold. And a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we're all going to be whirled toward heaven.
All right.
Even the dead in Christ are going to rise first.
Oh, yes.
So in one moment, boom, they're going to be gone. The grave's going to be empty. And, oh, I'm going to go to church then. No. It's going to be just, boom, moment after. Here's going to go the church.
Right.
The church is going to go first, preacher. Yeah, we are, because we're going to judge the world. That's what the Bible says.
All right.
We're going to meet Him.
Yes.
We've already made our calling and election sure. And we're going to stand with Him and judge the world. We're going to stand. I thought of it last night. We went and we had a good time. But, you know, I mowed the grass and whatnot. And after we left, was there about an hour and a half. Well, I said, them pews are horrible. I said, they are. They look good. But, man, the padding on them. And you sit on these church chairs for an hour, hour and a half, and it don't feel too bad. But I thought as we was there, and even in our worship this morning, I thought as, you know, we were singing about, I feel like praising Him, and you know, I'm gonna shout. I don't pay a lot of attention, but you know, I just saw this, as definitely the whole church isn't shouting. I know some of us are older, heavier, bad knees, and you can't. That's okay. Do it when you can. And then don't forget, feel condemned when your body's let you down and you can't, okay?
Right.
But I thought, as there's a whole church of probably 300 people going to be entertained at a concert, and boy, all they could get out of them was a... They did stand up, I think, twice. I wonder, Brother Hunter, if we took off running, what they would really do. I just wonder. And I thought, how do we get from where we are to where they are? Because that's exactly what has happened. 30, 40 years ago, it wasn't nothing in a Baptist church to hear people scream and go, "Jesus, I need you!" and cry out and worship hard like we do.
Right.
30, 40 years ago, even 50 years ago, they had altar calls.
Right.
And they worshiped, I guarantee you, a whole lot harder than we do right now sometimes.
Right.
Now, they probably didn't roll at the floor. They might not have run the aisles, but there was probably a few old-timers that did, Brother Skinner.
Yes, sir.
Now they go to church, and I would say they had more there last night than what they're going to have today. Now, next Sunday will be a different story, because they're going to hunt Easter eggs.
Right.
And they'll bust kids out of the woodworks. And they'll have programs and, "Whoo! We got the finished Easter egg hunt in town." You know, all the stuff they do.
Right.
And we won't talk about all that. We'll leave all that alone. Just because you know how I feel. And you know the truth.
Yes.
Right. Don't teach your kids a bunch of falsehoods when they start running their teenage years and somebody questions them on who God is.
Right.
And they say, "Well, did your parents teach you about the Easter Bunny?" Yeah! Well, you know that's a lie.
Right?
Just go do your research. Are you that stupid? And that's what they'll tell them.
Right.
Go do your research. And then they find out the Easter Bunny ain't true, and Santa Claus ain't true, and you've been lying to them about that, and they'll say they're lying to you about God, too.
Right.
Right.
That's right. So teach them truth.
Right.
Teach them what's right.
Yes.
Fear. Everybody say fear.
Fear.
Fear. To be afraid. To expect with alarm. To fear the worst. Also fear, the dictionary says, to have a reverential awe for the fear of God. We have that. To fear oneself. Some people fear their own self. To be afraid or apprehensive. When I think of fear, I think of a spider. And Victoria, Vince,
right.
Oh, Amanda Sue too. Her real name is not Sue. I just, you know, I rhyme, so Amanda Sue. Daniel was with us, stayed a little while at the time. And we walked up on the porch one night. My wife said, "Hey, see that spider?" And he about jumped off the porch over me. I wasn't paying no attention to the wall until she said, "See that spider?" And I'm thinking, "No spider, you know, spider." This time it was the real deal. He's about that big. He was huge. Daddy long legs. And I looked and I thought, "Boy, that's a big old colorful sack. That might be poisonous." And so when they all backed up, I grabbed the broom and I took a whack. And I meant what I meant. I about broke the wall hitting that so hard. Probably didn't break the broom. Bam! I hit him so hard I didn't miss and he splattered all over the place. Sister Texter thought she carried a spider bite not too long ago. We don't know what it was. She took care of it home with peroxide and this, that, the other, and alcohol. And it's cleaned up and got better and gone away, actually. I got one about right up in here a little bit. I was up in the shed doing some things. And the next day or so, I put on some other eggs. And so she took a marker and made a circle around it. Within like 2 days, it went from like this to like this. And I had a big black head on it, and it got to where I almost couldn't walk. Went to the doctor. Long story short, it was a, what was that? Sparta spider?
Brown
recluse. And he gave me some medication, and actually, a head come out of that thing eventually, and it, you know, came out, and I got okay. And he wanted to do, "I need to do a skin graft on it." I said, "What?" "I'm going to take some skin off the back here and put up there." I said, "I don't wear shorts." "No, no. It's healed down. You can't even see it." And I thought, "The world?
Right.
Fear. What do you do with that fear? Now, I know I talked about something that, you know, a spider or... What about real spiritual things?
Right.
That we, if we're not careful, let sneak into our home. And the devil hides it. Somebody had posted on Facebook a picture of a beautiful young lady. She was gorgeous. And she's laying in the bed, and she's clothed. And beside her, from the head up view, you see this beautiful young face of a woman laying by this devil. She's got an arm around him. How many? We're going to get to the power of love in a minute, but I still want to deal with this spirit of fear.
Right.
Wish that could tell you any truth, but it's true. I've pastored people for 10 or 15 years, Brother Skinner, and eventually left. And it was nothing of my doings. But it was fears and phobias that was locked onto them from childhood that they couldn't shake.
Right.
It wasn't because they really couldn't shake it. It's because they didn't want to deal with it.
Right.
They didn't want to deal with the past. Who's hurt them, how they was raised, whatever it may be. I'll tell this and get back. I was just thinking of the other day, and I kind of bent this mindset this week. We moved to Clearwater, and I was a young boy. Learned to ride bike. We had a, you know, in Florida you build higher than the road. The road was a little bit lower than the house. And had a concrete drive. That's what I learned. Push, got to get on that bike and head down the driveway. And this day, school day, and I told my mama I didn't feel good. She let me stay home. 5 or 6 years old, so I went riding around the neighborhood. There was a big empty field. And I remember in my peripheral vision, somebody was following me a little bit, so I made a turn and followed again. I made a turn and followed again. And I thought, nobody in the neighborhood. It's 9, 10 o'clock in the morning. And I remember when I came to the field, I stopped, got off my bicycle, and I turned and looked at a van. And a guy in the back of the van opened the sliding door. And when he did, a spirit of fear hit me, and I took off running like I never could run before. Now, I was fast when I was young. In Brown Elementary School, I took second place in the track meet. I was fast. I skinny too. I remember running through that field, cutting through some neighborhood yards, looking for anybody I could see that I could run in their arms and holler help because that spirit of fear got a hold of me. I don't know how many blocks I ran. I finally fell on my front porch step, looking down the road, no van there to pain. I don't remember anything after that. I don't remember if I was inside and I recognized something was wrong. I don't remember nothing. But I've never forgotten that instance. And now, obviously, you look back on it, and it was probably a situation it could have been an abduction. I don't remember the van, other than what color it was. I didn't know the van in the neighborhood. That's been 50-something years ago. Sometimes fear is a good thing. One more story, and I'll move. We went to the old church over here. I used to go up to the church late at night. And if me and the wife was fussing, or maybe if I was feeling burned around Daddy's birthday or whatever, I remember unlocking the front door, walking into the church. And I walked the foyer, and a spirit of fear hit me. I turned around, walked right back out, locked the door. And as I walked outside, I seen a window open. I don't think I had a cell phone then. I went home and called the pastor and I said, I think somebody's broken into the church. We went back up there. That window was open. And now the back door was open. We went in and somebody had stolen something. And I thought, wow, that was in there when I went in. Because that side door wasn't open. There was a side light right here, lights in the back, with a Skinner. If that side door had been open at night when I come in the dark church, I'd have seen it. The life was up here, not back there back then. Sometimes a spirit of fear can help you.
Right.
The thing is, you can't let it control you. You have to think through the process of what do I need to do now? What is the right response? And the same approach to anger. Don't be fearful of what happened to you in your childhood that you couldn't control.
Right.
You was a child. You was a child. We can turn that apprehension, that being afraid, fear of the worst, we can turn that into that reverence of God. He'll help us. FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, was running in a campaign for presidency against Herbert Hoover in 1932. And he got up and he said this: "The only thing we have to fear is the spirit itself." I worked at Publix a long time ago, and a guy used to, he loved Roosevelt. He would quote him just like that. And I heard that statement, I thought, yeah, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Think about that. Fear is an emotion, but it must be controlled. Fear can be a good thing. Remember, it's a spirit. I want to ask you, and I want you to participate. What is the opposite of fear? Brother Skinner, what's the opposite of fear?
Safety.
Safety? Courage? Somebody else?
Strength.
We don't put locks on our doors just because we're afraid. I know if somebody wants in bad enough, they're coming through that door.
Right.
That's just an alarm for me to make sure the man of the house, the strength of the house, is awake. Because fear would be somebody next to you and go, you wake up and they got a knife to your wife's throat. So I want to catch it before it gets to that point.
Yeah.
What is the opposite of fear? Brother Hunt, what's the opposite of fear?
Security.
Now listen, you ever heard faith over fear? Faith over fear doesn't mean you have no fear.
Right.
It means you don't allow fear to overwhelm you.
Right.
Now I say the opposite of fear is faith or trust. You ever remember going and getting to your daddy's bed in the night? You remember that, Brother Skinner? Most kids have. If they've been raised in a good home as children, we've always seen Daddy as the protector.
Right.
Your kids ever hear that, Luke?
Yes, they do.
And your grandma? When they get older, right?
No.
We was talking about it. Vincent Hammer said, "And we're about kid will side of the bed." I said, "No, dude. He'll get old enough and he'll get out. And when he gets out, you'll think play sometime and go, oh, he don't come back to our bed anymore." They grow up. They start learning things. They start learning Daddy and Mama's got a different relationship.
Right.
Hello?
I remember I used to, storms would come at night or get a nightmare. I'd go in there. Mom and Dad's room.
Mom and Dad had open door policy. But the door was always open. Well, I learned when I was about 12, the door was closed. It's closed for a reason. Lock didn't work, but I learned. It's closed for a reason. Didn't go in their bedroom anymore. You're a big boy. You've got to tough it up. But there was faith in that.
Right.
I still do the same thing. That's been dead a long time. But on occasion, Brother Skinner, like you was yesterday, I'll come and find myself in the church.
lock that door behind me.
Get my flashlight and shine around, make sure ain't nobody leaving the church.
No booger man stuck in the back door.
Right.
And sat in the chair, sometimes lay in the pew, cried and prayed, listened to Holy Ghost radio, whatever it may be. You know what I've learned? There is comfort and trust there. Well, preacher, I can do it in my clothes, or I can do it at home. That's good. I'm glad you can. I got that from my dad. My dad used to do that. Faith over fear means you don't allow the fear to overwhelm you or to take over.
Right.
We let faith rule. What does it mean? I just Googled this and pulled up this article and thought it was really, really neat real quickly. Having faith in God over fear means trusting in God's plan and provision. Now, and I will say this, as sure as I'm about to utter the words of Scripture came to me, I don't fear God in the respect of that He's not going to help us.
Right.
I fear man. It's the crazy people that you worry about, right?
Right.
But you know, as soon as I about uttered that, Scripture came to my mind, I won't fear what man shall do to me. Man can only destroy your body, you can't destroy your soul.
Right.
And that's the more important thing. God's provision, God's plan, even in the face of uncertainty, difficulty, or danger, it invokes acknowledging and facing our fears, but not allowing them to control or consume. Some people are consumed by this. Instead, we choose to focus on God's promises and character, believing that He is faithful and loving, and He is with us through every circumstance. Faith in God allows us to find peace, hope, and courage, even in the midst of fear, and to live with a sense of purpose and meaning that transcends our present circumstances. A friend of mine said he had an aunt, she always feared the freeways and she rode the back roads. You know where she got killed? On the back road. I begin to think of, there's a lot of scenarios we could use, but this one came to my mind of people that chose faith over fear. Now remember David and Goliath.
Right.
You see, Goliath used other people's fear to his advantage.
Right.
He was big. He was humongous. In 1 Samuel 17:11, remember, Goliath used other people's fear.
Right.
Well, preacher, that don't exist. Sure it does. In the Old Testament, they sent out 12 spies to go to the enemy's land to see what they're up against. That's smart planning. You see, faith over fear don't mean I get my 4,000-pound missile out here that we call a car and don't put my seatbelt on. I put my seatbelt on. Not because I'm afraid, but because you do what you can do in your control, and the rest we're going to leave up to God.
Right.
So they sent out the spies. What happened? Two come back, Joshua and Caleb, come back with a good report. Isn't it crazy how two guys, these guys are leaders of tribes of Israel. They're leaders of people, elder. And only two of them can muster enough faith to say, we're well able. You know what they remember? God said, I've given you the land. And when God says He's given you the land, He's given you the land.
Right, yes.
And you're going to go over and take it. Right. All you're doing is coming back and saying, listen, we need to get our swords ready and we'll sneak in on the backside. There's 4 or 5 over here. There's 6, 8 over there. And this is how we're going to do it. But God said it was ours.
Right.
Two come back with a good report. We're well able. Let's go take care of business.
Yeah.
And 10. That's not good odds.
Right.
10 out of 12. Listen to what they said. We are but grasshoppers in their sight.
Right.
David didn't have this kind of mentality.
Right.
They have a fearful mentality.
If they look at us, they're going to think we're just grasshoppers. What about your God?
Amen. Right. That's right.
God can take a grasshopper and kill a man if He wants to. I guarantee you. Let some of these I talked about see that spider. That little bitty spider will create a whole lot of chaos in their life.
Yeah, right.
And all he's got to do is just move the water a little bit. And that's what Goliath would do. He would use his fear. 1 Samuel 17:11, when Saul and all Israel heard the words of the Philistines. Now, I'm skipping through a lot of the story, but you can read 1 Samuel 17 and get the whole picture. So Saul and all of Israel, remember Saul was the king, heard the words of the Philistine. They were dismayed and greatly afraid.
Right.
Goliath, for 40 days and 40 nights, is standing up and saying, send me a man. And these warriors,
right.
And Saul, their leader, the king, is running like little schoolgirls. Did you see? Verse 14, and David was the youngest. And the three eldest followed Saul. The three eldest followed Saul. That's what the Bible said. The three eldest followed Saul. And Saul was afraid, so they was afraid.
Right, right.
Well, if Saul's concerned, we better be concerned about this guy. The moral of the story is be careful who you follow.
Yes.
That's the moral of the story right there. Be careful who you follow.
Right.
Verse 24, skipping some more verses, down 10 more verses. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. Verse 28, and Eliab, his eldest brother, heard. Let's talk about David now, when he spake to the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why comest down thou hither, with whom thou hast left those few little sheep, you little shepherd boy?
Right.
Ain't that funny?
Yeah.
But the shepherd boy had been following Saul,
right?
The coward of Saul.
Right.
There you go.
The shepherd boy was in solitude where he found strength with God.
All right.
And he walks on the scene, and it's just God's plan that as he's bringing cheese, here comes the old Philistine. Send me a man.
Right.
And David's watching his brothers go. He goes over and talks to somebody and says, hey, this little kid,
what's going to be done to the man that takes care of this?
He's already there. You see and hear this?
Right.
He's already planning on killing that little uncircumcised Philistine.
That's right.
Now we know from what scholars say he wasn't, you know, a teen, most likely a teenager. And that's just ignorance on the seat sometimes. They have no fear of nothing.
No.
Right. Teenagers have to be one place or the other when they're male. They're either, you know, people at work and they're scared of everything, or they just don't care. There's a Mack truck coming, watch this, I'll take care of it. You know, they can do anything. A happy balance in there somewhere. David said, why comest thou down hither, his brother said, with whom hast thou left those few little sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thy heart, for thou hast come down in the midst to see the battle. I know you. He had a few run-ins with this little shepherd boy before. Daddy's little brother comes in here, and all of a sudden, Daddy's little boy, the baby, is talking garbage. Man, you ought to have seen what went on today. What happened today? There's a bear come out of the woods and let us rip him apart. You're funny. You're the run.
Right.
Now, David said, verse 29, and I know I'm skipping, but, you know, I want to read the whole story for the sake of time. What have I now done?
Right.
What have I done? Is there not a cause?
That's right. Right.
You're worried about me and sheep. Is there not a cause?
Right.
You see, the problem is you're following a coward.
Right.
And I'm a shepherd. And I'm not going to let nobody take my sheep.
All right.
Nobody. If the man is going to get us, he's going to get our sheep and our goats and our daddy and everybody. It's going to be cowards because we're going to be under them.
Right.
And by the way, God had done anointed him to be king.
Right.
So it's in the back of his mind, if I'm going to be a king, I don't think I'll be a king over a cowardly people. So if I've got to die, I've got to die with a fight in me that says, I'm going to stand.
Right.
But he had faith. He believed God had anointed Samuel, and Samuel had anointed him, and he was going to be king. It's about a cause. And David said to Saul, we'll skip down a few more verses as well. The men took him to Saul, the king, and he said, Saul, now this is David, a young shepherd boy, talking to the king. He's now in the king's house. They could be fearful. They could be afraid.
Right.
Now, I don't think he walked in like, hey, I'm your man. They're going to take it to the king. Now you tell the king what you told us out there. You just go tell the Lord, you tell the king this. And so he walks in to the king. And he said, King, let no man's heart fail thee because of him. Thy servant will go. And oh, it's so funny that the little kid, a teenager's coming when all the warriors are out there.
Yeah.
And the teenager walks in and says, King, don't worry about this.
All right.
I think Saul's heart started to skip a beat. He's going, oh my God. Lord, where is my warriors that are like this?
Yeah,
my little boy. Young teenager. Because he's got a heart in him, and that's what counts.
Right.
I'll go fight with him. Verse 33, and Saul said to David, now look at this. What I'm talking about, somebody else putting their perception on you. Thou art not able. Huh? The first guy that's come out of a camp that's willing to fight, and you're going to try to, you're not able, son. Now, let me help you. He's just being realistic, right? Thou art not able to go out against that Philistine and fight with him, for thou art but a youth. And he a man of war from his youth. Saul said, the king, you're not able.
Right.
David said, well, in verse 37, moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of a lion and the paw out of the paw of a bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Saul said to David, go. That was all the convincing he needed. I mean, you know, in their days, that's what they feared. They're out in the woods. They're watching the sheep. The lion was nothing to be played with.
Right.
A hungry lion would rip you apart and then kill all your sheep. A bear was nothing to play with. He didn't need convincing he needed more. So I believed him. Go, Lord.
Right.
Faith over fear. David rejected Saul's fear. David rejected Saul's perception of him. David rejected his brother's perception of him. And now David rejected the Philistine's perception of him. Verse 43, and the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog? Thou comest to me with staves. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods.
Right.
David, look at the perception and the rejection. He's dealt with it everywhere. Not one person, not one, believed he was able. Verse 44, the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then David said, everybody say David.
David.
Look at this little kid. A teenager. Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear.
Go ahead.
And with a shield.
Right.
You've got the weaponry. You've got the big stuff. All his brothers was looking and going, oh man, he's got an armor bearer. You know what? David said, listen, you're coming to me with those type of things. Lord. I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts.
All right.
And God, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied, this day will the Lord deliver me into thy hand. Look at what he said. I'm going to smite you. Woo! It's a teenager looking at a giant across the field.
Right.
He said, I'm going to rip your head off your shoulders.
Yes.
Ain't that what he said? King James Version says, I'm going to take thy head from thee.
Yes.
You think, what do you think his brothers is doing?
Oh, no. Don't get ready, because we're going to have to fight now. We're going to have to back him up. He's going to get us all killed.
Davis, I'm going to take your head off. That don't sound like fear to me.
No, sir, not at all.
Sounds like an overconfident teenager.
Yes.
But remember, he said, I'm coming in the name of the Lord. I'm going to take your head off of you. And I'm going to feed your little fat carcass to the host of the Philistines this day to the fowls of the air. Now I'll add fat. Sound better. And to the wild beasts of the earth. And all the earth is going to know that there is a God in Israel.
Yes.
This day.
Amen.
Yes.
When I get through with you, I'm going to rip your head off and the buzzards are going to eat you.
That's right.
Think of what Goliath thought. Now remember, they had been in battle just not too long ago, and the Philistines had been defeated. And now they had come back together, fought a few nations and won, and now they're coming against Israel. They was at war with Israel throughout most of their history.
Right.
Sometimes they would lose, because Israel had sinned and God would allow them to lose. Sometimes they would win. But I wonder if Saul's looking back now and then. Uh-oh. Make this football mad over his God. I wonder if you remember the plagues of the Amorites. Some of that stuff. And I have sat and looked at that before, actually. But, you know, like I said, there was a battle throughout their whole history. Now, what are you facing in your life that you think you can't beat?
Right.
All the earth is going to know that there's a God in Israel.
Yes.
When they hear the story of a little dog, sir, you called me a dog. When they hear the dog kill the giant, they're going to know there's a God in Israel.
Yes.
And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not by sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's.
Yes.
And He will give you into our hands.
Yes. Right.
That made his brothers perk up. He's not going out there all alone. He's going with God. And he's saying we're all a nation. He's fighting for the honor and integrity of the nation of Israel.
All right.
That's called winning friends and influencing people. Look, and it came to pass that when the Philistine arose and come and drew nigh to meet David. Look at what the Bible said. When he got up and decided he's going to come down that mountain to the valley and fight this teenager. You know what David did? David hastened, the Bible said, and ran.
Yes, right.
I'm going to face this thing right on. I'm not going to give him a chance to get out his big ugly sword and yell and scream and rah anymore. I'm going to take care of it right now. And as he's running, out comes on the stone. Right in the helmet to where they would have an open spot. You know, the arrogant warriors had an open spot right here. And that was, if you get close enough, let's see if you're good enough to stick a sword right there. That was meaning, I don't care. You're not going to get close enough to me to touch me. And he sung that little sling, and the Bible said it bit it right in his head. Boom! Now, how does momentum work? We all understand the law of momentum. When you hit something here, it goes like that.
Right.
But remember, Goliath was coming. And when that stone hit him in the head, he just knocked him out, he fell on forward, and that was about him. And David runs up and pulls out his big sword from the armor bearer, probably like this. And all
watching as a little teenage boy is pulling a sword out that's probably bigger than he is. And all of his brothers watch it. And he takes out that sword. And the armor bearer stands. Because he knows this is more than just a little boy. He takes that sword and lobs off that big ugly neck again. Picks it up. Probably turns back to Israel and says, "I told you God was
right us."
And here they come, buddy. And they take over the enemy. You talk about, that's fearless. Yeah. That's faith. That's trusting in a God that, you know what? He delivered me once from a bear and once from a lion, twice. This is the third time, brother.
All right.
Faith over fear. David used his faith in his God to his advantage.
Right.
The enemy wants to use fear, but God wants to use faith. You just got to step out on some faith sometimes. You got to look at the diagnosis. You got to look at the doctor's report and say, "You know what? Thank you, Doc, for telling me what you know, but I'm going to show you the kind of God I serve."
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
That don't mean you go home and keep eating all the nasty junk you've been eating now.
All right.
You do some things. God used that faith. David used his faith. Remember, I'll hurry with this little bit of information I've tried to gather. Goliath said, "Send me a man." God sent a boy. Some Bible scholars believe he was a teenager. Nobody thought David could win. No one but God. Look at David's thought process. David said, "I've killed a lion. I've killed a bear by the power of God. Who are you? You're an uncircumcised Philistine." Do you know what that means? David was thinking he's unholy, unworthy, unpleasing, unfaithful, and unfavored.
All right.
That's pretty good, ain't it?
Yeah.
Come up with this morning. David's thinking, "I'm holy by the blood of Jesus."
Yeah.
Right. "I serve a God."
Yes.
"I'm worthy."
Yes.
"By the blood of Jesus."
Yeah.
"I'm blessed."
Right.
"I'm favored." If you've got God's favor, what do you fear? "And I've been faithful."
Yes.
Come on. Right. Woo! David's saying, "I am number one on God's time clock. I am a king's kid. I'm a child of the king."
Right.
Oh God, we gotta hurry. Here's the $1 million question. Why was David so different than his brothers? You ever thought of that? Why was David so different than his brothers? Why?
His spirit was different.
Spirit was different.
Yes.
It's a $1 million question. Psalms 51 and 5. David said, "Behold, I was shapen into iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." David had a different mother. Talk about the power of love. We've got to get to it, so we've got to hurry. Brother Skinner read this last Sunday, Proverbs 9 and 10. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy is understanding." The fear of the Lord is the beginning. You know what that beginning? We think of that beginning as a start. But when you really look at the Old Testament Hebrew, that word there, beginning, means an opening. Remember, the fear of the Lord is the beginning. The fear of the Lord is the opening up of the book of wisdom.
All right, right.
Woo!
Praise God.
Ha! And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Remember, the power of love. "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." You see, if we replace fear with faith, you get power. If you replace fear with faith and you put faith in there instead of fear, you get love. If you take out the fear and you put in faith, you get a sound mind.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes.
Oh, and I'll tell you today, the longer I live for God, Brother Vince. So I was praying on the other day, some things come the wrong way. Ta-da! I think it was Friday night. Talking to a boy that's come to church a few times about Scripture. Bruce is going, "Dad, whew, he's coming home back." You know what it is? Brother Skinner, the more I go to church, the less fear.
Yeah, right.
The more faith moves in.
That's right.
Right. Open. You know why? Because you take on the spirit of those that you're following. It's not just me.
It's others around here. You know what? Let's get out and believe what I'm preaching.
Yeah.
Brother Hunt really believes what he's preaching. And he said, we really believe what we're preaching.
Right.
I know that if God tarries, I'm going to get a diagnosis that's going to, you know, kind of shake you if you're not careful. And I've spoken before. I'm going to tell him, well, the doctor tells me you got cancer. Thanks, doctor. I already knew. We all got cancer. Problem not the cancer. The problem is your immune system getting to where it can't fight it off. But you know what? You don't have no fear. You just trust God. You do what you can do. You keep having faith. You keep coming to church and you keep learning. The closer I get to God, the more of a sound I get.
Right. Yeah,
whose report are you going to believe? That's Joshua and Caleb. Whose report are you going to believe? Well, the majority says we're grasshoppers. But there's a couple that says we're able.
Yeah, right.
Wow.
Go ahead.
A lot of years and a lot of death. And they come back to old Brother Caleb. And they said, Caleb, what do you think? You're 80 now, Caleb. What do you think? And old Caleb got up on his old cane and he got up a little bit and he said, give me my mouth. Whoa! I've watched a lot of death and I'm tired of death. Give me my mouth. I'm ready to go. I'm a whole lot older and a whole lot wiser than what I used to be. Give me my mouth. I'm tired of being in this place of doubt. All the doubters are dead and gone. All the faithless is gone. Give him a mountain. Let me go. Hey, I'm not walking like I used to walk, but I'm going to walk. And I'm going to step foot over that place that God promised me all those years ago.
Yeah.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Woo.
Good. Go ahead.
Can I be personal? Devil says you ain't going to have no more grandkids. You watch.
Right.
I might be in a wheelchair. You watch. And I know these are just like mine, but you tell them no different. Might punch you now. No, I don't want to do that. You tell them no different. I love them just like my own.
Yes.
But I still want my own.
Yes.
And when I get 10, I've got to get work, kids. Adoption's cost a lot of money, but if I can get a big job or something, I don't care how you do it. I'm going to say 20 would be good. And if I get 20, I say 30 is good. All of them ain't got to be a lot of biological mind.
Right.
I don't care. I love kids. But when Satan puts that fear in your mind, I say, no. Give them a mountain. Hey, it ain't coming my time frame and come how I want it to. But you know what, Brother Skinner? I'm getting my mountain because God said it was mine.
Right.
God promised it. Oh, I got to hurry. When you sit and look, that spirit of fear there, that fear means timidity. It's only mentioned one time. The Lord has not given us a spirit of fear. That fear is only mentioned one time. Can you believe that? That exact word. And it means timidity. It's 1167 in the Greek, but it comes from 1169. And it says, dread, timid, that is, listen, by implication, faithless. What's the opposite of fear? Faith.
Yeah, right.
God has not given us a spirit of faithlessness.
Right.
Timidity. Humbleness and timidity is two different things, and I don't want to get on all that. If you push a right kind of preacher in a corner, you'll find out he's not quite as timid as you think he is, because he's going to fight for what he believes.
Yeah, right.
He's going to fight for what he loves. Is it that later they just come out early? It ain't even 11:30. Good Lord. How long am I going now?
Go ahead.
Never mind. I'm going to hurry. Power of love. Here we go. 1 John 4. 1 John 4. My last passage of Scripture. You got hope. 1 John 4:15. For whosoever confesseth that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwell in him, and he in God. We have known and believed the love. Somebody say love. Talk about the power of love. We believe the love that God hath to us. God is love. I'm reading the Bible. Somebody say it's the Word.
The Word.
And he dwelleth in love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. 1 John 4:17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Love made perfect. Now this is one of the scriptures that came across my mind when I thought about love. First John 4:18. Don't forget it. Write it down. Put it in your phone. Text it. Send a picture. An email. Google. Whatever you got to do. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear
Come on.
In love.
Go ahead.
There is no fear in love. Quit fear, she's going to leave you.
Right.
As long as you're loving right.
Right.
Maybe failures in the past. People are people. Well, and fasting is fasting, and prayer is prayer, and you might get a hold of the horns of the altar.
Right.
Because if